Hey guys, and welcome to Moms and Murder, a true crime podcast featuring myself, Mandy, and a poor sick Melissa.
I am a little under the weather. Do I sound good? No. Do I look good? Also no.
That's not true. You look wonderful.
It totally is. It's all right.
So this week, we have a wacky, wild, very weird case coming for you.
The three W's.
Yes. And Melissa's conveniently sick. So I love how she just does these things to me. She chooses these weird cases and then she's like, I'm just going to get sick, so you have to talk about it.
Absolutely. So. My voice is going to go out in the middle of this. It's going to be a whole thing. It'll be the case Mandy did.
It was definitely a setup. I can feel it already. Perfect. But first, of course, we want to just remind you guys about a couple of things that we have. A merch store now, mm-hmm. and we have some new designs up there now that are live, I believe. Yeah. They're ready to mm-hmm. be purchased. So we have, of course, the lovely Nikki T and her Mother Clucker design.
Yeah,
and
Mrs. that is Mother Clucker.
Yes. And she has actually already ordered herself a shirt with her own design on it. So that's actually so cool. I can't wait to see a picture of that, especially. I don't know. I think that's going to be so cute on a shirt.
She's also Nikki with the good hair, and that girl has the most amazing hair I've ever seen. So like the whole thing is just, it's insulting to me how good her hair is, but she's a lovely person.
So go check out the store. We did get on top of adding the word podcast finally to the logo. So if you don't want to scare people away at first glance, you can get that one instead of just the one that says Moms and Murder.
I might as well say question mark.
So the other thing, of course, we wanted to remind everybody about our Patreon account. We're kind of trying to rework some things and bring some better perks to you guys. We're kind of trying to figure out what to do and what you guys want. So if you want to check that out and just see what we have currently available, and
we'll have a post this week kind of asking what everybody wants. So by the time you hear this, things might have already changed.
Right.
We could have already made it better for you. Right. We've had so much support on there recently, and it's overwhelming and so wonderful. And I don't know. I'm really happy. I'm also hopped up on medicine, so
doesn't take much to excite her today.
It doesn't. So the website for that is patreon.com/momsandmurderpodcast, and our merch store is momsandmurder.threadless.com.
Perfect.
There you go.
All right. Are we ready for this?
Never.
This case, I just would like to say, probably make sure you have headphones in or that you're not listening around children.
Oh,
because
yeah.
This one is, it's, of course, you're never going to hear any bad words with us, but the content of this case is not kid friendly.
No, it's not human friendly, if you ask me.
It's so. Not Mandy friendly. I've been telling Melissa all
Melissa
week.
It's Melissa friendly.
I just want to get this over with. I'm like, I don't know where this came from. Actually, you said your mom suggested
it,
which was even more shocking for me. Like, I was like, whoa, what? It's making me question our entire friendship. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I'm here.
I feel like I got away scot-free living with this lady after she told me about this. So, no, they were driving through to see us, and this actually took place on their way to my house, like where this crime was committed. So they were like, oh, by the way, have you heard of this? And I was like, oh, yeah, Mandy, let's do it. And then we didn't have anything better, so we decided to scare ourselves.
Yeah, well, after looking at it just for like 2 seconds, I was like, oh, this will be an interesting one. And
it's not a spouse killing a spouse. We got out of that box.
It's not. So let's stop hyping it up and just get right to the point.
Oh, yeah, not hyping.
Right? So this week we are covering what is known as the vampire murders.
Which would have been more appropriate during Halloween and not Thanksgiving.
Right. Although this does tie into Thanksgiving. So it actually worked out well as far as that timing of the episode goes.
Timing only.
I have the worst habit of saying the weirdest things.
You do. And reviewers know it.
So we're talking about the double murder of Richard and Ruth Wendorf. Her name was actually Naomi Ruth, but you'll come to see in this case, there's a lot of people who had
Everybody has quotation marks.
Right. I don't know. Crazy. I guess that must have been like a 90s thing that everybody went by a different name or something. I don't know. Every single player in this case had a first name, a quotated middle name, and then a last name. So I don't, and some of them just had different names and aliases altogether. I don't understand it. But so.
Well, if I was associated with this, let me give you my alias.
Right. So this couple was from Eustis, Florida, as I said, and it's kind of a small town. If you know anything about Eustis, there's not really anything there.
It's a drive-through town.
It's a very sleepy town. So this was in 1996. So it's been quite some time now, which was interesting to do a case that was from 20 years ago because a lot of things have come out since then about it. So it was, it was, there was a lot of information available. So this couple, they were parents to two daughters, Jennifer, who was 17 at the time, and Heather, who was 15. And they had mostly a normal childhood. They were, they had fond memories of their childhood, and everything was really just going off as normal with a family. You know, the parents were working and the girls going to school, and Heather, the youngest daughter, kind of became mixed up with a very deranged boy, and his name was Rod Farrell. So the two of them had met when Rod had briefly moved to Florida with his mother, Sandra Gibson, but they originally were from Murray, Kentucky. So this was kind of one of those, I guess, let's just go crazy and move to Florida kind of things. They didn't live here very long, from what I gathered. It was only like a year or so.
I wonder if Florida was too crazy for them.
No chance of that.
Spoiler alert. So Sandra was a single mom raising Rod alone after becoming pregnant with him at 16 years of age. His father was initially married to the mom, but when Rod was just a newborn, he left. Sandra looks back on her life with her son very lovingly, which... okay, I'm glad she has fond memories of him, but it was kind of a birds of a feather thing, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah. He was very much so.
Yeah, they liked the same kind of music and movies, like dark fantasy type things. And she once brought him to see the movie The Crow, and he dressed up like the main character, wore all the makeup, and, you know,
to each. The black outfit and everything. Yeah.
To each their own. Totally fine. I'm on board with doing these, whatever, with your children if you want, but. She also said that he was an absolute blast to live with.
Right. That blew my mind.
First of all, no one is a blast to live with.
If you live with them,
no one.
Their fun factor immediately comes way down.
But it's kind of a strange thing to hear a mom say that about her 16-year-old son that, I don't know, I'm in the mindset more, I guess, of... we can be friendly, but I'm not your friend. I'm your mom.
Right.
And
if you think I'm a blast to live with, I'm probably parenting wrong.
I'm doing it wrong. Yeah. Right? I'm shutting this down. This is not going to fly here. So anyway, I thought that was kind of an interesting tidbit there. Dark movies and music weren't the only hobbies that Rod had. He also drew abstract art.
Air quotes. Art.
Yeah. I saw this and I was like, I can't draw anything and I could do better than this, but he was really into it. It included dragons, fairies, and mythological beasts. And in the ninth grade, he actually got expelled from school. And then at that point, that's where things quickly go downhill.
So these drawings he was doing there, they were kind of dark and scary. I mean, it was not
terrifying.
Like, it wasn't just like the cutesy little fairies or like a nice friendly Pete's dragon or something. Yeah. Like these were scary, 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 like things that you would see only in nightmares.
Yeah. Yeah. And only if you were like a deranged person having nightmares. Like, I don't think I could even have a nightmare this terrible.
Right.
Well, I could after reading about this story.
Right. I know. Well, I always think it's so interesting whenever you hear about people drawing art that is like reflective of their mental state, I guess, because that is scary. If those are the images in your head that you like get them on paper, you know, I would never be able to sit down and draw something terrifying like that in great detail because I thankfully just don't have those types of images in my head. You know, whenever I sit down and draw, I'm like doodling like a flower or something or a peace sign.
Stinking hippie. No, but I wonder if that's also like I've heard that that's kind of a processing thing. So if you have these things, you're getting them out. Like they'll tell people with a lot of anxiety to write these things out, like kind of putting them out there in the world so it's not in your head anymore. I feel like for him, it had the opposite effect.
Right.
And it just made him like super, super into this.
Right. I agree. I would agree. So according to his mother, Rod began smoking pot around age 13 or 14. And within a year, he was hooked on hard drugs, including LSD, heroin, and cocaine. It was during this time that Sandra began to notice that Rod was having some rage fits, particularly when he was getting high. Well, no kidding. This is a, like, teenager.
A baby.
A 13, you know, has been on some kind of drug since he was 13 and for years and is using all these drugs. And, you know, everybody has their own opinions, but it's pretty much proven fact at this point that your brain is not nearly done developing at this point. So whenever you start adding all of these different substances, I mean, that is huge for your development as a person.
Right.
You know, you're not done, as much as teenagers like to think that they're just as grown as they're going to be at 16. Yeah. You know, there still is a lot, especially with, you know, your brain maturing and everything. So
as this goes on, everything I read was like, you're an idiot, you're an idiot, you're an idiot.
Right.
Like clearly they don't have a good everything is not done developing at all.
Right. But then it's also surprising for the mother saying that she looks back and says that everything was so great. And I'm like, he was like doing drugs at 13. Yeah, like, what was so great about that? Yeah. You know, to me, if I was having a 13-year-old at home that was getting into drugs and everything, that would not be great. I would be so stressed out. I don't understand how.
You wouldn't think fondly of that time in your life?
I don't think so.
No, you wouldn't. I know you wouldn't. I'd go up and slap you upside the head if you did.
So during these rage fits that he would go in, and she said it was mostly when he was using cocaine, when he would go into these, you know, I'm sure the other drugs didn't make him necessarily happy either. But he would break furniture, punch holes in the walls. And in her words, she said that he would treat her like a dog and talk to her like a dog.
A fond dog.
Right. But this is the fond time in their life. So Rod really started falling deeper and deeper into his, what he called his dark side. And he started just to wear all black attire and just grew a head full of this long, stringy black hair, and it just would hang over his face and cover like half of his face. And you can just
Everyone has seen A-Rod.
Everyone has seen one. Yes.
You went to high school with him, and if you didn't, and I'm not saying you were Rod.
That long, stringy hair means that you're crazy. But
it's just the way somebody's expressing themselves. Exactly. Especially in high school.
Right. Especially, I was going to say, especially with teenagers, they have all, they want to do different things with their style and everything.
We sound so old. Those youths.
His behavior and personality caught the attention of another classmate named Jaden Murphy, and he liked Rod because he reminded Jaden of himself and that Rod just didn't care what people thought of him. So this was appealing to Jaden, and he thought that he would have found a really good friend in him. So one day he just decided to walk up and introduce himself, and pretty much it worked. A close friendship was formed. So they continued to hang out together more and more, and they realized that they had a lot in common. And Jaden confided in Rod that he was a participant in this vampire lifestyle.
Sure, sure.
So imagine, picture this. You're at your locker. Someone comes up.
How does that conversation start?
I mean, I don't understand. I don't know.
Do you have math third period? Yes. Do you like vampires? Do you want to be a vampire?
Do you want to be one?
Sorry, I did not make that jump good enough. Yeah.
So Jaden taught Rod these vampire rules, or the rules of the lifestyle. And he actually had gone so far to say that Rod was his chosen one. So Rod's the one who's going to carry out all of his work of vampirism.
What work is there to do? Like, what's the end goal here?
We're going to get into that.
Yeah, yeah. One night, Jaden picked up Rod and some other friends, and they drive to a cemetery because where all the cool kids hang out, apparently.
Right.
Yeah, and they complete a ritual process that would initiate Rod into their weird vampire clan.
I just, anything that's like a ritual, I don't like the word ritual.
No.
Nothing good ever happens.
Cult. Right. Yeah.
Nothing good ever happens.
Yeah, exactly. So they each cut themselves and, they partook in each other's blood because nothing sounds like Thanksgiving, like talking about drinking blood. Sorry about this. Hope you don't have a turkey in your hand. So as they're doing this, they're talking about like their ideas of how this will make them all together forever in eternity, like BFFs forever. First of all, why would you want to be a vampire for the rest of your life? That just seems miserable. Give me like a McDouble and I'm happy. Also, like, what if this doesn't work? What if that's your ultimate goal and all you've done is just drink a whole lot of blood?
Also, this is the 90s, and I feel like this is kind of when there was like a lot of awareness about not sharing bodily fluids with other people.
Right. So like, I thought we were done doing what was it called? Like Blood Brothers. Like,
yeah.
Just put them together.
You know, and like, I don't know. My brain hurts with all of this, though, because it's just like, that's just not a smart thing to do on so many levels, just for your own safety and for everyone else. I'm just worried about the safety of everyone. I know. You know?
It's real upsetting. But it's like a crowd mentality, I guess. I did not have this problem. I will narc all of you again. I could care less what you try and get me to do. But Jaden recalls the first time he tried blood. This is not his first time. He tells a story about his uncle who was a hunter. He brings home a deer one night, drains the blood after he was butchering it, and they drink deer blood together. Are deers vampires? What is the point of drinking the deer's blood? What's going on? So Jaden said his mom lost her mind over it.
Oh, really?
Well, I was thankful to hear that right. She wasn't like, pull me a cup, you know, pour me a cup. And she was super upset, but that he liked it. I call BS on that. There's no way you like that.
Ew.
Have you ever bit something in your mouth and it bleeds? It's terrifying.
No, it's so bad. Yeah. No.
Lies. It's lies.
So as Rod began hanging around this Jaden character more, his friends started to notice that he was changing, because Rod actually did have other friends. It wasn't just this guy. But the other friends he had had before had noticed that Rod was starting to become a different person. He was kind of turning into like a little bit of evil from what his friends
really
say. And so, I mean, I guess when you get to the point where you're doing blood drinking rituals,
yeah,
there's...
things have taken a turn.
Right. We're no longer in Pleasantville.
Yeah. I heard one of his friends, and you'll remember which girl I'm talking about, on one of the documentary videos, the one in all red who, like, it said, like, Rod's dream.
Oh, the one who dressed up like a vampire?
Yeah, with, like, blood all over her face. Right. Fake blood all over her face. Found her on Facebook. She doesn't do that anymore. But
thank goodness.
But she was saying, like, it was such a roller coaster ride with him. Like, some days everything was great, and other days it was terrible, and we were terrified. I was like, well, get off the ride. Like, that does not sound fun at all.
Right. Who needs a friend like that? That's just
terrifying.
Too much.
One terrifying day will make you leave, children.
So up to this point, his friends had described him as being fun to be around and, like he said, a great friend. But in 1996, he began to just sink deeper and deeper into this idea that he was a vampire. These thoughts, of course, were magnified and just continued. He let it continue to go on, and it was easier for him to, I guess, get into all this because he was doing so many drugs and drinking alcohol and mixing things and all that. So, yeah, I imagine if you...
That combination,
you'll be easily convinced that you're a vampire. I mean, I don't know. I've never done LSD, but I can't think of any other explanation.
Yeah.
So he eventually started to believe that he was actually 500 years old.
I feel 500 years old.
Right. But he maintained that this was him and this was true, and he really was a legit vampire, 500-year-old vampire. So a former friend, April, who was the one that you were mentioning, who did a documentary interview, and this documentary was like done in the late 90s.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not current at all. This was when they were all still teenagers. You know, this is shortly after it happened. And she was on the documentary and said that at one point when she really realized that things were going bad
when
for
the
him,
roller coaster was down.
Right. She said that something had happened, and what happened was that Rod had killed a cat. Basically, it was just walked up to him and was trying to get petted, I guess. And this part makes me so sick. And I guess he just picked the cat up, bent down, picked it up, and threw it and slammed it against a tree and killed it.
Yeah.
And so April and Jaden, you know, the boy who introduced him to all this crazy vampire stuff.
Yeah.
He even said that he thought...
Too far.
This was too much, right? That we didn't sign you up to kill things.
Although we're talking about drinking blood and, you know.
But according to Jaden, he says that... killing is not part of the vampire lifestyle.
Right.
It's not
because the rules.
It's not in the vampire rules. No, it's not. It's not meant for you to just go on.
Right.
You know.
Glad to hear
killing spree.
Glad to hear it.
I am too. Now, I guess they just do drink each other's blood. They don't have to kill people to get it. I don't know what the.
What is the Vampire Diary? No, not Vampire Diaries. What's the old Tom Cruise movie, Brad Pitt?
Interview with a Vampire?
Yeah. Like, didn't they have to kill people that were. I don't know. I watched that at my aunt's house, and my mom's going to kill me, whenever I was younger, and I hated it, and I was terrified. So I don't remember all the bits and pieces of that movie.
That movie I remember because my dad used to watch it, but every time I would see him watching it, I would always just be like, oh, he's watching that, like, boring dad stuff. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, I never sat down and actually watched it. And now my husband turns it on every now and then as, like, a falling into sleep movie.
Oh, no. Like, you need chasers. You need funny stuff to go to sleep to.
That's when I just roll over and go to sleep. I don't have to watch any of that. So eventually, Rod and Jaden's friendship started to crumble after this cat incident. And Jaden said that he just did not condone or encourage Rod's violent behavior at all. And Rod started to betray Jaden more and more. So they had done this ritual. He had been initiated into the secret society of vampires, and they were
like Vampire Fight Club.
Yeah. And they were just bestie besties, and then they were supposed to remain that way forever because
they drank each other's blood.
Right. So
yeah. This is eternity.
It's eternity. So it's a big deal when Rod starts betraying Jaden, because that's
What are you going to do the rest of your life? Right. For eternity. Like, you got to still see this guy.
Right. Rod decided that he was just going to ditch Jaden, and he was going to create his own little vampire clan. And he met some new friends who were also interested in this lifestyle. And their names were Scott Anderson, he was 16, Charity Kesey, who was also 16, and Dana Cooper, who was 19. And on November 23rd, 1999, this is the week of Thanksgiving, the group of vampire teens set out on a quest to Florida to pick up good old Heather Wendorf and initiate her into the clan. So Heather was the one that he had met when he briefly lived in Florida. Yeah. And I guess they had stayed in contact, and she said, you know what? Vampire life sounds great.
Yeah. Come on down to Florida. Also, Heather, you could have done better.
I agree. I agree. There's plenty of crazy people in Florida. You didn't have to go outsourcing it.
Don't outsource to Kentucky. We have our own.
So according to Rod's mother, the original plan for this trip to Florida was that Rod and Charity were going to go down to Daytona first and get married. And then the whole group of them, all these teens, were just going to move to New Orleans and get an apartment and live like vampires. Okay. First of all,
how many things are wrong with this?
There's only one person in this group who's over 18.
Right.
And it's this girl, Dana. The rest of them are all minors. I and know. So, and Rod's mom was okay with this. Like, sure, honey, go ahead.
Yeah.
Like,
give it your best shot.
Like,
drink some blood.
Nobody has a job. Nobody has.
First and last month deposit. As an adult, I was thinking of all these things.
I'm you like, can't just you move to money? New Orleans. What?
How irresponsible this plan is. You're going to die before you get there.
And like, are you going to finish school?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to write a note for you.
No.
I'm going to talk to your principal.
So I hope you're going to enroll in the local high school there.
You're going to get your GED? What's going to happen here? What's your plan? Give me your five-year plan. I need your five-year
plan. It's funny because those are all the same things that I thought of too when I like was reading. I'm like, wait, how are they going to go get an apartment?
Yeah.
Who can even get an apartment?
Who's going to sign for this?
Right. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
That's the part about their brains, where it's like your brain is not completely developed to think this plan through.
But all the parents who were okay, although I'm assuming some of them just skipped town and didn't tell their parents.
I would guess your best bet would be to leave without telling your parents you joined a vampire cult and are traveling to Florida with them. I'm thinking they probably didn't tell anybody.
Probably not.
They arrived in Florida on November 25th, 1996. Dana, Charity, and Heather arrived at Heather's boyfriend's house at around 9:30. Heather had a boyfriend. Is the boyfriend not interested in stopping any of this or saying maybe don't join a vampire cult?
I always wondered about that. I guess I don't know.
Thank goodness he was not keen to join into this. So the group had previously discussed a plan for Rod to steal Heather's parents' SUV. Well thought out plan. And then
Needed a bigger vehicle. Now they're going to be picking up Heather, so they didn't have enough room.
Sure.
So they needed a bigger car. So
why save our money and get a rented car and move to
Let's just steal Heather's parents' SUV. It's right there. It's ready.
Sure.
Let's go.
Let's do it. So Heather leaves the garage door open and told him where he could find the keys in her parents' bedroom. Rod and Scott were supposed to go in and steal the car and then meet back up with the girls so they could head out of town bound for New Orleans. When the guys didn't show up to meet them, the girls decided to go back to the road that Heather lived on to look for them. At the same time as they're walking that direction, the boys pull up in the SUV. Charity went over to speak to Rod while Scott was changing the license plate. But whenever they change the license plate, I was like, wow, that's one actual thought out plan to not get caught on this. Not genius. No, but like they're going to look for a license
plate, where did they get it? Maybe they just took it off the car that they had originally drove.
They're so dumb.
Otherwise, I'm just picturing them like writing on a cardboard box with these letters and just like taping it onto the back.
It's possible. So when Charity returns to the girls, she is white as a ghost. She is looking absolutely terrified and horrified. So Dana becomes concerned and asks her what's wrong. And Charity replied that she, quote, wasn't sure, but thinks Rod may have killed Heather's parents.
Whoa.
How are you not sure of that?
Right.
Like, what was the conversation that left you, like, iffy on it?
Right.
Okay.
Like,
well,
I know.
Well,
not
what
sure.
Say?
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Not
but,
sure.
But I also had seen in one of those documentaries that she said that he had like red on his shirt.
Oh, okay.
Well, so.
Yeah. Well, I guess that makes sense. But
right. So Charity wasn't sure. And Heather didn't have any clue at all. But it was true. Rod had murdered them just a few minutes prior. In interviews that were given by Rod himself, he recalls the murders in absolutely chilling detail. If you guys go and watch any videos of this, be prepared to have your skin crawl. And yeah, like, it just gave me goosebumps because I was saying to Melissa, like, I don't, you know, evil stuff and, you know, stuff like that. Like, I don't really think about that stuff too much, you know, but I was saying to Melissa, I'm like, this person, like, I feel like this is like what you think of whenever you think of someone who like sold their soul to the devil. Like, yeah, this is like so beyond creepy, the stuff that he says and the way he talks about this whole thing.
Yeah.
It just gave me like the heebie-jeebies so bad.
We'll link to it, but I'd advise you not to watch it, to be honest.
It's very creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. He just seemed like he could care less. Like, it was very just like, this is what happened. But, like, proud of himself at the same time?
Proud of himself, yeah. I mean, he has zero remorse about it.
At least at this time, he had zero remorse. I still don't think.
We'll get into that. But, yeah, no, it just seems like he has no soul, basically, what, you know, that's how I felt about him. And
do vampires have souls? Do we know that?
I guess not. He's 500 years old, so, you know. So, Rod says that he and Scott were supposed to go in the house, find the master bedroom, steal the car keys, and take the Ford Explorer. While they were going through the garage to get into the house, Rod had a thought that, you know, what am I going to do if I encounter Heather's dad while I'm going through looking for the car keys?
Right.
And he thought he would need to grab something to protect himself just in case he was confronted by Heather's parents and would need to, I don't know, fling it at them so he could run away.
Fling it at them, yeah.
So he spotted a crowbar and grabbed it, took it with him, and the two boys entered the house. When Rod first found Heather's father, he was sleeping on the couch, but he did not see Heather's mother, Naomi, anywhere. So they looked around for some more things to steal, and that was including a few items that Heather had requested that they grab, I guess, as souvenirs of them breaking and entering and stealing things. And she was like, oh, steal stuff for me from my own house. I don't know. It's just so weird.
It'd make more sense if she was like, can you grab my bag? Right. Not can you prove that you did this?
Right. And they I'm having like flashbacks idiot. To Erin Caffey Thank because she did the same thing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it was at this point that Rod says they just simply decided to kill Heather's parents.
This is why it matters who you hang out with.
Right. Rod says he doesn't know what came over him in that moment. He just decided he was going to kill Richard, mm-hmm. who was laying there sleeping, taking a nap on the couch. So he recalled how the two boys went over to where he was sleeping and kind of like danced around his, what you want to say, body, but he wasn't dead yet because they hadn't killed him yet. Just danced around him while he slept. And the way that Rod describes it, like he was saying that it was like just a very childlike, like, what did he say, impish dance or whatever. And that he, and this is a quote, he said, it was a rush to know he was asleep and not know we held his fate in our hands.
Ugh.
That is so disgusting. I can't even – that is just so – no. So he says he initially wanted to try to impale Richard, but didn't realize that you needed a sharp object to do that.
What do you think you impale people with, sir?
Like, what do you think – I just – I don't understand how you would think that you could – I don't know. I don't understand how you could think any of this.
I just don't – yeah. The whole thing is like, oh – I don't know. You've got to be disturbed to even come up with, could I impale this person? You know what I mean? And then, like, logistically, could I impale this person?
Right. So weird. So he decided that he would just use the crowbar to beat Richard over the head until he killed him. And that's what he did. And he, in the interview, said that, you know, he hit him several times in the head. And even the autopsy report, I actually looked at that, and they were saying that, like, the number, like, the actual number of times that he was hit, it was, like, so much. I mean, like, he was unrecognizable, this man. Yeah. Like, he had, like, no face left after this. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I can't even with that.
Yeah. It's just so – I don't know. The whole thing is so upsetting, but just the lack of respect for just a human.
Yes.
That's where it's really hard, like, to dance around them, to do this for no reason. There's no reason.
He's literally sleeping.
I know.
Like, just do what you came to do if that's what you want to do. Steal the keys, steal the car, whatever. You know, it's a stupid thing to do, but it's not killing an innocent person. I know.
So after Mr. Windorf had been beaten to death, his wife Naomi confronts the teens. And she asked Rod what he wanted, which I'm sure she was going to give him whatever he wanted. But Rod actually does not say anything. And he says, according to him, his focus was, quote unquote, to kill.
So he's just like living on a high after the first thing he did.
And no remorse, no anything. Like, it wasn't like I have to cover up my crime even and now there's a witness. It's just like now I just want to kill. So upsetting. So he moves to attack Naomi and she was holding a cup of hot coffee, which she threw in Rod's face. But that only seemed to accelerate what he called his, quote, instincts. And he quickly murdered Mrs. Windorf in the same way that he had killed her husband. So at this point, the teens then steal the Ford Explorer, took the murder weapon with them, and went to pick up the girls, and they head out of town. It wasn't until they were leaving Florida that Heather learned of her parents' murder. Can you imagine, like, you're in the car with them, and you find out that your parents are dead. She said she remembers that day and the following days feeling dreamlike. She said she was afraid of Rod, smart, and what he was capable of. And it wasn't just her. Dana said that it felt like the air had changed with anger and anticipation and that Rod scared her as well. So now everybody's terrified of this guy. They're going to Louisiana with.
He just murdered two people in cold blood. And like,
I know. And they're stuck in a vehicle with him.
Right. And God only knows what he has planned whenever they get where they're going. I mean, I would be scared. Like, okay, what is all this about? We're going to New Orleans. Like, are you planning on sacrificing us? Like, You know, I would be terrified.
Oh, yeah.
Truth be told, I would want to jump out of the car at the next gas station and call the police myself, you know, just to get away.
But you got to remember that they're young kids and they don't know, you know, that might make sense to me and you, but you could be so terrified. Or he could say, nobody can leave or this could be you. He would show the crowbar with the dried blood on it to the rest of the teens and even explained how he killed Heather's parents in detail, which you imagine hearing that about your parents. That's heartbreaking. Back at the Windorf home, Heather's older sister Jennifer returned home from work to find the bodies of their parents. Police who responded to the scene immediately suspected that Heather and her friends had something to do with the murder and that they had stolen the SUV and fled, which, spot on. Nice job.
Well, I had read that Jennifer actually told police, it didn't take her long to throw her sister under the bus and said, hey, yeah, my little sister, she is into this weird vampire stuff. And I think this person came from Kentucky, and possibly that's who she's with. So, and then that combined with the fact that the truck was stolen, they were like, okay, this is probably something we need to look into as a actual possibility of what's going on here.
They began circulating pictures on the news, and a nationwide manhunt was then underway.
So when Rod talks about these days on their manhunt, he says that he thought it was just great. He loved it. He loved the excitement of being on the run and that all the police were looking for him. I'm like, this is so sick to me.
Yeah,
this
I know.
Just, all of it is so crazy. So on their second day on the run, they did finally arrive in New Orleans. And Rod wanted to meet up with his friend. And this person is only known as Chicken Man.
See, Mandy, I had something in here for you.
No, this is not the kind of Chicken Man that I want in my life, okay? Not even close. So this Chicken Man, he was famous for blood drinking rituals. I just didn't know this was such a thing.
No, apparently.
And how can you be famous for drinking blood? I think they meant infamous.
Yeah, they mean infamous. And like, I don't even remember how well the internet was going on at this time. Could you Google him? Is it like a Yelp review that he's a good blood drinking ritual
Like if you're
guy?
Into this is the man to see.
Yeah. 5 stars.
So the teens would have to go into actually a very dangerous part of town, which there's not hard to find one of those in New Orleans. Actually, it's all very dangerous. They don't recommend that you walk around alone at night down there. Actually, I've been to New Orleans once. I went with my friend and my husband and we actually had some stuff stolen off of our like personal property, like off of us whenever we were on the streets in New Orleans and we just let them have it. It was like a digital camera and
stop.
Yeah. But it's actually kind of, it's not really the safest place.
There are some safe areas in New Orleans.
There
are beautiful places.
Well, there are. It's not all terrible, but I mean, it's, I feel like it's really like that though with any destination or any city, you know, you're never going to be very far from like a bad part.
Especially with a lot of travel and.
Even if you go to downtown Orlando.
Come on. We can't even kind of excuse that. You know, that's going to be a hot mess if you go down there.
But also dangerous.
Yeah, no, that's
maybe
what
I'm just
dangerous.
Like scared of everything.
I'm terrified of everything.
I just don't want to have anything to do with
it. I think everyone is trying to kill me. So, yeah, that's where I'm at.
So as the kids are walking down the dark alleyways of New Orleans to find the Chicken Man, a police officer stopped them and basically just told them, you know, what are you doing over here? You guys need to get out of this area. So he said they needed to just turn around and walk the other way. Well, of course, they're not going to argue with an officer.
Yeah, not at this time.
Not at this
point. They're not feeling so brave.
No. So they did. They turned around and Rod decided at this point that they needed money because, of course, they don't have any money.
What? Are you kidding? Can they believe that? Jobs on the road?
They have nothing. So they need money because they can't even get out of town at this point. They've used their gas tank is on empty. None of them have eaten anything.
What about the apartment that they're going to live in?
I don't know. I don't know what the plan. Maybe the chicken man was going to help them out. I don't know.
Oh, gosh.
So Rod said that the best way, I guess, for them to get money was to break into someone's house and steal whatever they needed.
Yeah. Why didn't they give blood? They love giving blood.
Do they pay you for that?
Yeah. They pay you for plasma. Oh. I was once a college student. I know. They do.
Is it worth
it? Or they did. They did many moons ago.
Is this something I should do?
No, it takes a really long time, and it's always in a sketchy area of town.
Oh, great. Okay. So they did break into a house. They chose one, or Rod chose one. He sounds like he was the ruler of everything and chose it all. And thankfully, nobody was home at this house. So all of the other kids were even saying, like, thank God nobody was here because they have no doubt that Rod would have killed them.
Yeah.
These other poor people. So they just went in and they stole weapons, alcohol, and a plastic piggy bank full of change, which totaled $20, so woohoo.
Can you imagine that that was your house and he broke into your house and how close you were to being murdered?
Like, no.
I don't know how you get over that one.
I would move immediately. Like, yeah. I would not be able to handle that.
$20?
$20. That's all they got in cash. And then they had like alcohol and weapons, which they didn't even keep because they ended up ditching the weapons like the same day or the next day.
Which would literally be something you could sell behind a gas station.
Behind a gas station, yeah. I mean, or...
To the chicken man.
Right. So they put the whole $20 in gas in the Explorer and decided that they couldn't stay in New Orleans. That was just not a great idea, which it's not. And so they headed off to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So like I said, they ditched the items along the way, including the crowbar, which was used as the murder weapon. So now we're states away. So now he's ditched the crowbar in Louisiana somewhere right. that he used in the Florida murder. So. Yeah. That's kind of going to throw a wrench, I feel like, in the, you know, investigation.
Throw a crowbar in the investigation.
So at some point, Charity Kesey decided that she needed to contact her grandmother and get in touch with her mom. And I guess this was all just because they didn't have any money and they needed help. Of course, now they're like, oh, yeah, we actually need to call our parents.
Yeah. Hey, mom, on the run. Right. Western Union me a few bucks.
Right. So Charity's mom said that she would wire money to Charity. But keep in mind now, all these kids, they know they've been on the news. Well, I guess the kids don't know they've been on the news.
Yeah.
But at this point, the parents are already tipped off that the kids have been seen on the news.
Right.
And that they're on the run. And if anyone gets in touch with them or hears from them, they need to give information to the police.
Right.
So Charity's mom, of course, doesn't mention anything on the phone with her, but she did say that she would wire the money to Charity and just told her to let her know.
Where?
Just where do you need that money to go, honey? So Rod was closely monitoring the call, but Dana said that she still had the very bad feeling that the whole thing was a setup. And she was right, because a short time later, two police officers approached the girls that were, I guess, hanging around outside. It sounded like they were just loitering around the car. And they took the girls to the police car, and there was more officers that showed up and surrounded the SUV and took all of the teens into custody on November 28th, 1996, which was Thanksgiving Day.
Hmm. One of the officers who picked up the teens said that Heather was upset, but that none of the others were. He said that Rob was extremely arrogant and that the others seemed very subdued. And they were probably terrified and shocked. You know, if he's like knowing what's going on and they don't. All the teens in the group were found to have self-mutilation marks from their bloodletting rituals.
Mm.
Are you ready to revolutionize the way you enjoy food and essentials at home? Introducing Dash Pass from DoorDash, your ultimate ticket to convenience and savings. With Dash Pass, you gain exclusive access to unlimited $0 delivery fees on eligible orders, along with members-only deals and discounts that will leave your wallet smiling. Whether you're craving the flavors of your favorite restaurants, need groceries from across town, or anything in between, Dash Pass ensures that everything you need is just a few clicks away, delivered right to your door. With Dash Pass, not only do you enjoy $0 delivery fees, but you'll also benefit from lower service fees on eligible orders, making it the most affordable affordable way to satisfy your cravings and stock up on essentials from your local favorites. What I really love is how quickly DashPass pays for itself. On average, it takes just 2 orders, which makes it a no-brainer investment for your budget. And as if that weren't enough, DashPass grants you special access to exclusive promotions and menu items, adding an extra layer of excitement to your DoorDash experience. You get all this for only $9.99 a month, which is a small price to pay for unlimited convenience and savings. My family and I have had DoorDash for the past year or so, and while I make most meals at home, I don't know that I could mom without it. I used it twice just this past week while we were dealing with a stomach bug at home, and it was so nice to have and to be able to focus on getting better and not running all over town to pick everything up for everyone. Don't wait. Sign up for DashPass now and unlock a world of possibilities, all from the comfort of your home. DashPass from DoorDash, delivering joy, convenience, and savings straight to your doorstep.
Get more from delivery for less with DashPass. $0 delivery fees and reduced service fees on eligible DoorDash orders. Sign up for DashPass today and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change. Terms apply. Open the door to $0 delivery fees and savings you can't get anywhere else. Sign up for DashPass today, only on DoorDash, and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change, terms apply.
It's sunny and beautiful outside, which means I want to be out there. And while I can't just leave the house to vacay at a moment's notice, I sure can pretend. Welcome to the fabulous universe of June Parker's escapades in June's journey. Forget about packing your bags. We're taking you on a roller coaster without a passport. Say goodbye to the mundane and get ready to dive into a whirlwind of drama and elegance with our leading lady, June Parker.
Whether you're itching for a juicy mystery or just desperate for a break from the daily grind, June's journey is your ticket to excitement. Follow June as she unravels family secrets and tiptoes through the tangled mess of her sister's demise. It's like crashing a fancy party, minus the small talk about the weather. Although, we secretly love that too.
So dust off your virtual flapper dress and buckle up for a wild ride where every corner holds a clue and every twist keeps you on the edge of your seat. But hold on to your pearls. June's journey isn't your average mobile game. I'm knee-deep in the 5th chapter, and trust me, it's more fun than a barrel of monkeys. With stunning scenery and catchy tunes, this game oozes sophistication and class. Don't waste another second. Jump into June's world and let the adventure begin.
Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
Rod Farrell pled guilty to the murders and was sentenced to death in 1998. At the time, he was actually the youngest person in the U.S. on death row. His sentence has since been reduced to life without parole. And that's happened several states, really.
Right. They did that because he was a minor at the time of his crime.
Right.
So, yeah, he was supposed to, I forget now, he was supposed to be executed in early 2000s. It was, like, supposed to be set for, like, I believe 2005 or 06.
It's never that soon anyway. Like, no, that was only 10 years after a crime?
Yeah, no, that would not, no, I agree. That would be really quick.
No.
Scott Anderson, who was really just there, I don't believe he participated in the murders.
He was dancing around, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he didn't actually hit anyone with the crowbar.
Again, with hanging out with the wrong crowd.
Right. So he was sentenced to 2 life sentences without parole, and he and Rod were actually both granted a resentencing hearing, which is going to be held very soon on March 12th, 2018.
Can't wait.
I can't believe they got resentencing hearings. What are they going to do? If they let these kids out, I'm going to freak out.
I know. Well, I'm going to freak out after this.
Eustace is a little too close for comfort.
I know. Well, and after this, I'm not feeling great about it, Mandy.
If they get released, we're taking this whole episode down.
Oh, for sure. It will be down immediately. Get it while you can. But yeah, that's so soon. Whenever I saw that too, I was like, hold on. I'd like to know that this was concluded.
There's no way they're going to let them out.
I heard Rod say in a more recent interview, he thinks that everyone deserves a second chance. Not, I'm sorry, this was terrible, I did these things, I feel bad. Just that everyone deserves a second chance.
See, I don't buy it. And I think he's still creepy, even in his older age now. I don't feel like he's remorseful at all.
I didn't get an overwhelming sense of remorse. I got an overwhelming, oh no, March is only a few months away from him.
Right.
That's the vibe I got.
The other guy, Scott, though, he does seem truly remorseful to me. And like, you see his picture now, I mean, he just looks like a regular guy. Like, you know, does, of course, they've all grown up now. They're not teenagers anymore. This is 20 years ago. And Scott says that he really had no clue what he was in for going into the house. You know, he was down for breaking and entering and stealing a vehicle. Right. he didn't know that he was getting himself into a situation where he was going to be an accomplice to murder or be present for the murder of these right. people. And, you know, like you said, you hate to even say wrong place, wrong time, but it fits here. Like, you know, yeah. like it's well, unfortunate
that hanging with your friends. That is, I swear I will go to my death saying that. Like, you are really who you hang out with. And,
right.
And I know that's controversial or whatever, but it really is a reflection of you. If you're having these kind of close relationships with people that are really quick to make some terrible decisions, you could end up being involved just by being there, you know?
Right.
Your life can be ruined. PSA.
So Charity Kesey, who was the girlfriend supposed to get married to Rod in Daytona, she actually only served 10 years for her role. She was released on March 23rd, 2006. And since her release from prison, she has moved back to Murray, Kentucky, where she now has two children and volunteers her time assisting recently released criminals so that they can reintegrate into society. And she is studying, or she was studying, to be a paralegal.
I like that.
That's I like it.
Wonderful. Yeah. And that's it. That's an important job to be able to reintegrate people because right. that's always a yes. discussion of like you get out of prison, you're supposed to be rehabilitated, and then what?
Right.
All you know is this life of crime.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that's
it's and an 10 easy... years in jail. I mean, that's it would be hard. Like if they've been in for any length of time, I can see how getting back into society would be hard. And then I always think about people who like say that we're serving like 30 or 35 years mm-hmm. and it's like now it's 2018.
Yeah.
How much is different?
Everything.
I mean, I feel like that would be the most overwhelming thing to have to even go back out into yeah. the world and realize it's such a fast-paced world we live in now. Like, yeah. it's nothing like it was mm-hmm. in the mid-80s or, you know, even early 90s. Like, it's yeah. just so different, you know, with the internet and the smartphones and the everything is smart now. You could talk to things in your house. I don't like it.
Well, that's because you're a paranoid person. No, but I can't remember who I was listening to recently that was wrongfully convicted and released, and he talks about walking into a gas station and freaking out when the doors automatically open. That's how long he had been in prison.
Oh my gosh, like, that so is think so crazy. Of
how that's something you take advantage of, and yeah, so he like stood there and was like, what's happening?
It's like literally the future to them. Like, yeah. they're like, you just got like transplanted into a completely different time.
Yeah.
Like something that you have, it's all like foreign.
A time machine.
Yeah.
Totally is.
So Dana Cooper, who was the 19-year-old at the time, she was the oldest one, she served 15 years and was released on October 15th, 2011, so not too long ago. And she was another one who I felt was just – it was just an unfortunate circumstance for her. She yeah. was just, you know – and I can see sometimes teens do get involved in these – whatever. If they feel like it's part of something they can belong to, this vampire
yeah.
thing, you know, and like I said in the beginning, it doesn't mean – they want to kill people.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
the regular average vampire, yeah. apparently. Just the Rods.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, and I think that sometimes those kind of things, like, it doesn't always have to mean that you're going to turn, you know, murderous.
Right.
But a certain type of person, I feel like, who already has, like, inclinations to certain things
yeah.
can easily be provoked by right. getting involved in things like that. So – yeah, so I feel like the girls here, I feel like it's fair that they didn't spend life in prison
sure.
because they didn't kill anyone and they didn't even really know that what was yeah. going on. You know, they were just...
But people died. You have to pay for that. You know, you
right.
were involved in some degree. There has to be payment for that, really.
Right.
Which I is mean, unfortunate, but...
I think 10 years is good, though. I mean, so she was 26 when she got out. So
yeah.
that's...
She still has her life.
You still have your life.
And
exactly.
she's doing something with her life.
Right. So Heather Wendorf, the daughter, was cleared of all wrongdoing in the murders of her parents, and she served no time in jail. I don't know how she was the only one who
that
got
off. That
didn't
make sense to me.
That didn't make sense to me either. So she now goes by a different name, and I actually found her on social media, and it looks like she has a really nice life now. She lives in North Carolina. She is married, and I know that I could tell she has at least one child, a daughter.
Yeah.
So, but she's kind of hippie, like me. It's kind of weird.
I see it.
But no, she, yeah, she goes by a different name, which I'm not going to say just
yeah,
out of respect
no.
for her. Mm-hmm. It's
doesn't not, matter.
Right. So Rod continues to give these candid interviews in which he says he longs for death and has always felt like he was going to hell for his crimes. And he is just an evil, evil person, in my opinion. I hope he does not get out of jail. Honestly, I kind of wish that the death penalty stuck in this case.
I know. I don't want to say bad things about him really loudly, just in case. I'm just kidding. But no, for real, this episode will come down if there's any chance that he's coming out. Because I did read that one of the things was they could get off for time served.
What?
They could get off for time served. Read it.
What
it's
do you
there.
Mean? No.
Yes,
no,
absolutely. No. I 100%
How are you
going to
kill
you?
Someone and only serve 20 years
they were
in jail.
Minors whenever it happened. I'm telling you.
Oh my gosh. I will freak out.
I know. Maybe.
Guys, this one might not be up very long.
This one might not even go up. I don't know yet. We'll see how safe we feel.
We're breaking our own rule. We've always said that we're only going to do it for Patreon if we want to do ones where it's possible that the...
they could come for us.
Yes.
My name is not Melissa. And you are not Mandy.
Nope.
We're safe now.
Those are completely fake names.
Yeah.
Lauren, we are sisters.
That's true.
And we host a celebrity-obsessed podcast called Pop Apologists.
We also love Taylor Swift. Chandler, how are you managing to cope while we await Taylor's new album?
Look, I want to be put into a medically induced coma and wake up on April 19th, but I'm not sure my insurance is going to cover it.
Join us on our pop culture podcast, Pop Apologists, where we will be dishing on all things celebrity news and deep diving every word and note of Taylor's new album.
Pop Apologists.
Pop Apologists.
So that is the story of the vampire killers of Eustis, Florida. I want to say Kentucky. I'm more
they're
Kentucky.
Of, they're of Kentucky.
They're Kentuckians
they're,
now.
They just came to Florida to do
Always
got to
come
things.
To Florida. Leave us out of it. Let us, we have enough crazy. We don't
need
imported crazy.
I agree, totally.
So today we are going to do something a little bit different. We normally run promos at the end of our show, but we wanted to do something different in the spirit of Thanksgiving and being thankful. And Mandy, I am very thankful for you, by the way. And I've had so much fun doing our little podcast. And aww. I know, I'm not, it's all the cold medicine, I'm telling you. I'm slowly dying here.
This is the first nice thing she said to me in 5 years.
It's the first nice thing I've ever said to anyone. So you should feel really special. But no, this has been such a really cool thing for us. And we're so thankful for people that listen and have enjoyed it and don't mind that we joke and add a little levity to this whole thing. And we're never making fun of the people that have crimes that happen to them. I feel the need to say that all the time, but we, yeah. So anyway, we're really thankful for you guys. So in the spirit of Thanksgiving, we did not want to do promos this week of shows. Not that there's anything wrong with that. We love doing that, but we wanted to feature a couple businesses that we know about, small businesses. So at the end of, it's the Saturday of Thanksgiving week, that small business Saturday, right? Where
right.
you should spend money for small businesses. So we wanted to just highlight a couple of those businesses that mean a lot to us that are involved with our show or that are friends of the show. So the first shop we wanted to tell you guys about is Fulton for Life. And this is Aaron, whose husband is TJ with Pints and Puzzles, who's a friend of our show. And so I heard Aaron on TJ's show this week. They did like a cute little Q&A, which was adorable and so fun to hear a little husband and wife going back and forth because it feels very normal and like what my life sounds like. But she actually has a company, the Fulton for Life, and they carry bags, totes, little clutches, and they're gorgeous, super durable. And they have a lot up on their website, fultonforlife.com. The really cool thing I found about them through their interview was that their goal is to, in the next few years, as the business grows, and it will because these are awesome products, that they're looking to start hiring people with like special needs and maybe some disabilities to give them jobs, which is,
that is so
the
awesome.
Coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anytime there's anything like that, I'm like all on board. Like, what do you need from me? And so anyway, whenever I heard about that, we just wanted to tell you guys about them and share what a cool thing they're doing. And also these things are awesome, beautiful. Like, check them out. So it's fultonforlife.com. So the next one is the lovely Nikki T, who designed our Mrs. Mother Clucker.
We love Nikki T.
When she's not designing chickens for for us, she is a photographer that specializes in weddings in Arkansas. And these are the most beautiful pictures ever. Like,
they're really good.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I asked her, I'm like, where in Arkansas? And she said all over Arkansas, which I'm thinking Florida. So I had to Google how big is Arkansas? Because I thought that seems
big.
Crazy. No, it's not that big. But oh. In my head, I was like, how is she going all over the state? But so she goes all over the state. So if you live in Arkansas and need a wonderful photographer who also likes moms and murder and murdery things, but she won't kill you.
That's a very important point to throw in there.
Most likely.
She's legitimate.
She's legitimate. And her website is captured by Nikki, and Nikki is Nikki.com. But she was established in 2007, and she's doing really well with that. And so her photography is gorgeous. My wedding photographer was terrible, and that's a story for another day. He wore bedroom slippers to my wedding to take pictures. Yeah, so
that's
he had a heart attack like 2 weeks before and didn't bother to tell me.
Oh my gosh, that's awful.
I know.
And you're making fun of his slippers.
No, he like came in, was like super confident and gave me a hug, and he's like, "It's so good to see you. I didn't know when I would get out of the hospital." And I'm like, "You couldn't have told me this at any point before today." So him and his wife were dancing at my wedding like they were just like holding on to each other like nobody's business.
Oh my gosh.
They thought he was gonna die.
That's horrible. I know. That's a terrible story.
He's definitely dead now. he's a very nice man, but
he's actually dead.
Yeah he died like 7 years ago. He did not make it much longer after that wedding.
This is the worst story ever.
So check out Nikki. She's also not dead. Captured by Nikki.com. We're never going to be able to read actual ads.
Oh my gosh.
Ever. Ooh. And the last one is our friend Jessica with Mother Maker. And Mother is M-U-T-H-A. But she makes wearable art.
It's the coolest thing. Yeah. I don't even know how you describe it because I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I've never seen anything like it. It's amazing.
So she made us our own like custom Moms of Murder.
Bestie necklaces.
Bestie necklaces. Yeah, so we're super excited about that. She's in San Antonio. She does women's, men's, kids, pets. It's the coolest variety. Like if you have even kind of a vision, she will take it to the next level. It's the coolest stuff ever. I love
it. It's so awesome.
Love it. So you go to Instagram. She's on Instagram at Mother, M-U-T-H-A, Maker, Facebook and Etsy, all the same things. And she said there's also 10% off of orders of $20, $25 or more, no code needed. So if you guys are looking for ways to give to or to spend your money for Small Business Saturday, these are really great companies. I hope you'll check out their – they've been great to the moms. We love them, and we just wanted to – show our thankfulness for people who have listened to us and have been so kind to us and share with you guys about them. And so all we have left now are the Dateline, On My Dateline, hashtag On My Dateline.
Okay. Mandy. So I am so thrilled with how this hashtag is going so far.
Oh my gosh,
far.
I love it so much.
So we had the examples that we originally gave. They were pretty basic and simple, and very. It was just more like a quick thing like, oh, On My Dateline, I want Keith Morrison to do it. Well, our lovely listeners have taken it to the next level, and we have started to get actual narrative style paragraphs about it, and they are all hilarious.
They're
so we just thank everybody for submitting them. They have kept us so entertained over the last week, and I hope we can read all of them eventually.
Yeah.
But we're going to read as many as we can for now, and then we'll let you guys go do whatever you need to do.
Probably not eat after this episode.
Probably not. So our first one today is from Clewell Weddings. This is on our Instagram. And it says, hashtag on my dateline. I'd be the one wrongly convicted after my husband accidentally dies and they find my search history. This is literally what we're always worried about.
It's a big fear of mine.
It's a serious problem in my world that I could look really guilty.
But I realized today or the other day that we will probably never be called for jury duty. Or if we do, we can get out of it. This would have been our whole thing. Say I run a murder podcast where we talk about people being convicted and people that we don't think are guilty.
This
and
is like the you want to bring excuse. Us on.
I know. Children can't get you out of it after they're a certain age. That's over. Right. So we've got it, guys.
We figured it out. The next one is from Married to Murder, which is another podcast. Two ladies talking about murder. Yeah. So you'll have to check them out. And they said, on my dateline, no childhood photos from our awkward phases.
True. Yeah.
Please don't show that one where I had like a bowl haircut.
No. Well, please show me that one because that's – I need that. I need that in my life.
I'll see if I can dig that one up for you. The next one we have is from Leah Cook, and this is from our Mum's the Word Facebook group. And she is kind of new to the group, I think. She just joined, but she's jumped right in.
Yeah, yeah.
And is participating. Love it. I love it. I love it too. So hashtag on my dateline.
Oh, man.
They started off with a picture of sunny Florida and the beach, then go to an eerie dark night in Florida where the narrator starts to speak. It was a typical night for Leah Cook as she gorged herself in piles of food as she laid around and watched Real Housewives. But little did she know that she was only minutes away from choking on her food. Fran Drescher would narrate it because why not? Tagline would be, from fit to fat, a tale of overeating yourself to the grave. I feel like this applies to me so much.
Oh my gosh. I love the whole narration where she's like, here's who I want doing it. Here's everything. Like, this is my new favorite hashtag. This is awesome.
And the next one is from Caitlin G, also from our Facebook group, Mum's the Word. She says, on my Dateline, there will be a dramatic episode-changing cliffhanger before every commercial break, and they'll say she spent most of her night sitting at home in her sweatpants.
Honestly, that's the way to go. That is the way to go. Yeah. I'm wearing pajama pants again.
The next one is from Nikki P. This is also from our Facebook group, and we love Nikki P. She's very special to us. We love her. And hers is hashtag on my Dateline. They'll recount positively identifying my body by saying, dressed in leggings, a tank top, and with hair in an unwashed messy bun, detectives knew it was her.
That's so perfect and basically my life.
Yeah, I agree. So the last one for today is from my very good friend, Bonnie Joy. I've known her forever, and she's always funny and writes funny things all the time. So Bonnie says, she drank copious amounts of coffee and had a devastating sugar addiction, both of which fueled her manic obsession with removing the literal writing on the wall, which detectives believe to have been caused by a Sharpie. On that fateful evening, loved ones say she scrubbed so hard that it removed an entire layer of slate gray paint, which sent her into a rage unlike any they'd ever seen. She fled the scene in her minivan, neglecting to leave behind the many car seats, sweaters, chicken nuggets, and every pair of shoes her children owned, running over an innocent chicken in her haste. Police were able to track her by following the trail of postpartum hair loss to a local Starbucks. There, they were, however, unable to apprehend her until she had shoved the final piece of cranberry Bliss bar into her foaming mouth. Hashtag on my Dateline.
You can identify to like 99% of that.
It's all of it,
so
yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, I love it. Oh my gosh, postpartum hair loss that just had me dying. That's a very real thing.
That was so perfect, Bonnie. Thank you for sending that in.
Yeah, I laughed for days over that one. It's perfect. So you guys got to compete with that. Good luck. I don't think it can happen.
I know. These have been so good so far, but I know you guys can do
it. You can do it.
So these are some great examples. It doesn't have to just be a quick, short little thing. If you guys want to send us a little funny whole little blurb, we will read it. Yeah, yeah, we love it. And we're just willing to go wherever this thing takes us. So.
That hashtag originated in our Mum's the Word group.
That's yes.
Still the most fun place on the internet.
Yes.
400 people
absolutely.
Later.
Absolutely.
We love it.
Absolutely. So join us.
Join us. So the last thing we have is in the future, we may be adding ads, like real ads.
Yeah.
Like real adults and real
not
podcasts.
Because we want to, because we have to. Well,
because our children need to eat. turns out free stuff just doesn't
appear.
You can't get free food for them. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So one thing we wanted to say about that is when we do start, we're going to try, we don't know how this stuff works, but basically our goal is to like clue you into music or something to give you a little bit of a heads up that an ad's going. And you know us, we're going to make it humorous, or something.
We're not funny. We learned that already this week that we're not even funny at all.
Oh, if you haven't reviewed us and you want to and you want to make us feel better on iTunes, feel free to give us a review. Unless you're going to give us a 1-star one, then just go away. We don't need that negativity in our life anymore. Just turn us off. So anyway, just wanted to clue you in on that. And if you wanted to help us to be able to get ads in the future and feed our darling children who have to eat all the time, we do have a little ad questionnaire that advertisers kind of want you to fill out, just kind of getting an idea of who's listening to your show. It took less than 2 minutes for me to do it, and you can omit information. You don't have to give everything. It's not asking for email addresses, nothing like that. So, but they're just getting an idea of the demographics. So if you love us and you want our children to eat and have shoes –
man, that guilt trip. She lays it on thick.
Listen, this is all I have. No, if you don't mind, if you have a couple minutes in your day, or 2 minutes exactly in your day, or less than, you can head over to www.podprofile.com/momsandmurder.
And we can share that link again
We'll put it
on
the show
release
notes
day, the day we release this episode, so that we can make sure everybody knows what it is.
So we'd really appreciate it if you guys could take a second to do that. Thank you, everyone, for supporting the show. Thank you for listening. Hope you guys have a wonderful Thanksgiving and we didn't ruin it for you.
I agree.
Yeah.
I hope that we didn't ruin it for them. Don't listen to this episode on Thanksgiving. I should have said that in the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that you're here at the end, don't listen to it on Thanksgiving. There's your warning. Have a great week.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Moms of Murder podcast. Make sure to check back with us next week for a new episode. You can also find us at momsandmurder.com, where you can connect with us via social media. Please make sure you subscribe and give us 5 stars, because giving us 4 stars would be a crime. Thanks so much.